Romans chapter number 6 and James chapter number 1. Appreciate all the effort that went into outreach yesterday, whether it was putting flyers together, passing them out, talking to people. And amen. We indeed concur with Brother Coley. There are many, many hungry people. Amen. Praise the Lord. I feel like God placed us here in the heart of this city that He might fill this place up with souls. Amen. And He wants to use you. Praise the Lord. Now, amen. We're going to read in just a moment. I do feel that the Lord gave me this message for this service. I'll be honest with you. I was expecting more to be here than what are here. Amen. But I nonetheless feel that God has something for us. Amen. And praise God, we're going to believe God for good things in the service. How many will let the word of the Lord talk to you today? Amen. We need the word of God to get on the inside. Amen. Make a change in us. And praise God. It takes a lot of preaching to save us. It takes a lot of preaching, amen, to save us. It takes a lot of preaching to get us changed, perfected, to grow from grace to grace, from faith to faith. And I feel like God's going to do something for us today. Romans chapter number 6, beginning with verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, as Brother Manuel mentioned, past tense, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. When you obeyed the doctrine. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. But what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Notice it mentions in verse 21 that the end of those things, the way that we used to conduct our lives, the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, you become servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. James chapter number 1, verse number 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I would like to draw our attention to the very last two verses of each of these readings. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life. The Bible tells us that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. For the wages of sin is death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Today, I want to preach on the subject of the incredible power, the incredible power. Amen. Let's pray and let's ask the Lord to help us. Can we, precious Savior? Lord Jesus, we need your help. We need your God, divine anointing. We need, Lord, your assistance. We need, dear God, your direction. We need the Holy Ghost, dear God, to move and to minister, God, today. I pray, dear God, hallelujah, Lord Jesus, that, God, somehow you'd use this body, God, my tongue, God, my mouth, God, oh Lord, somehow, God, to Lord, be submitted, oh, under your mighty hand to preach the word, God, that you would help our ears to hear, our hearts to understand, dear God, Lord, to receive, dear God, the word of God for us today, oh Lord God, let these words, God, be spiritually discerned, God, let them, Lord, hallelujah, find their mark in our hearts, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Let's pray one more time, one more time. Everybody, let's pray for the remainder of the service. Oh, precious God, precious God. Lord, we need you, God. We need you, God. We need you, Lord. Oh, minister God in this place. Oh, let every one of us, God, receive, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, from the word of the Lord today. Anoint, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Praise God. At the end of these passages that we just read, the power of sin, the incredible power of sin, is relayed to us by these apostles. Amen. I want to preach again on the incredible power. And but even though this incredible power of sin is relayed to us in saying that the wages of sin is death, and sin, when it's done being conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, will bring forth death. Even though these are strong and powerful statements, they really only scratch the surface in detailing to us the incredible and devastating power of sin in the lives of people. They really only scratch the surface of the power of sin and its role in the untold miseries that have been endured by people from the time of Adam and Eve. Amen. Through all of our sordid history, through the plagues and wars of history, through the genocides that have been perpetrated upon every continent of this globe. Amen. Through the myriad instances of man's inhumanity toward man, from the very first murder of a man by the name of Abel by his brother Cain, all the way down through the time of Hitler, and even down to our present day, where things that are unspeakable are being done, really, upon every continent. These passages only give us a glimpse of the devastation and the power of sin. Amen. As it wreaks its havoc, amen, and people suffer silent and tragic indignities within the walls of even their own private homes. Sin, it seems, has at every turn carelessly left in its wake misery and heartache and pain and suffering. Amen. Sin has left young and old. Sin has left rich and poor, famous and unknown, all without hope and without God in this world. Sin has devastated men and women, teenage boys and girls, young children and babies who have had their hopes dashed, amen, and their peace dashed upon the rocky shores of their own life. I'm here to tell us today that sin, my friend, is incredibly powerful. Amen. Sin has the power to destroy lives. Sin has the power to destroy a marriage. Sin has the power to corrupt a person and damage their lives forever. Sin has the power to turn a mother into a prostitute. It has the power to turn a dad into a pedophile. It has the power to make people captive to sin, make people servants and slaves to sin, be shackled by sin and place its subjects into the abject bondage of sin and addiction that it seems that there's no way to escape from. Amen. Sin has got the power to make a mother drown her own children and a son to kill his own father. Sin's got the power to steal virtue from young people. It has the power to take a good girl and turn her into a drug-using streetwalker. It's got the power to take a good boy, amen, and turn him into a pusher and a thug. Sin has got the power, can you hear me today, amen, to damage lives that will stay with that person, amen, for the rest of their life. Sin is so powerful that it invaded heaven. Amen. Sin deceived an archangel, if you will, that was in the very presence of God at the time that iniquity entered into his heart. Sin is that powerful. Sin caused a great war in heaven. Sin dragged down the archangel to hell and a third of the angels with him. Sin was so powerful that it took the Son of the Morning, amen, that angel, that anointed cherub that covereth, and turned him into Satan, amen, and took the angels and turned them into demons. Sin, my friend, is very powerful, and yet some people feel that they can handle a little bit of sin in their lives. Amen. Let me tell you something today. You cannot handle sin. Sin, you cannot take fire into your bosom and it not destroy you. You cannot handle it, amen, and it not affect you. Sin cannot be toyed with, amen, or it will begin to toy with you. Amen. People feel like, amen, that they have power over sin in and of themselves. That, you know what, if I just go ahead and I indulge in a little of this and a little of that, nobody will know. My pastor won't know. My parents won't know. Amen. My wife won't know. My husband won't know. But I'm here to tell you that sin will leave its mark on you. Sin will stain you. Sin will bring you down. Amen. Sin is powerful. And we can't handle it. Amen. We cannot handle sin. Amen. We've got to get sin out of our lives. We've got to repent of sin. We've got to turn our back on sin. Amen. Hear me today. Praise God. We need to learn to hate sin the way that God hates sin. Amen. Amen. In Romans chapter number 1. I've got a little bit of a reading, but I want to just kind of preach through it. Paul said that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, or in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Amen. You cannot harbor unrighteousness in your life. Amen. You cannot harbor ungodliness in your... You can't have pride in your life. You can't be a liar and go to heaven. Amen. You can't be a cheat. Amen. And make it, amen, to the pearly gates. Praise God. And let me tell you something. There's not going to be arguing with Peter at the gates of heaven. Amen. There's nothing like that in the Bible. I'm here to tell you, my friend, that you've got to live a holy life. That you've got to be sold out to God. Amen. You cannot just handle a little bit of sin, amen, and try to hide it. Praise God, you've got to deal with sin. Amen. I take a look at Achan back in Joshua
Praise God. I think it's Joshua chapter 6, chapter 7, somewhere around there. They went to the Battle of Jericho. And there at the Battle of Jericho, God told him, told Joshua, you tell the people that they are not to take any of the spoils of the battle. You can't go in and take garments and gold and silver and oxen and all of those things. Those are mine in this first battle. Those are mine. You can't touch them. You can't take them. Just leave them alone. And while they were in the heat of battle, and God wrought a great victory, and the walls came tumbling down, and they went in swords in hand, and they fought, amen, and God gave them that great city of Jericho, amen. There was among them a man by the name of Achan, that when in the heat of battle, nobody was looking, nobody could see what he did, nobody ratted on him, except his own conscience, amen, and what God saw, amen, in secret, but there he saw, the Bible says, a Babylonish garment. Amen. It was just too pretty to pass up. And it was just kind of lying there. And nobody was around to see. And nobody was looking. Amen. And could I tell you something? It does not matter if nobody sees, God sees. It does not matter. How about integrity in our heart? Amen. To do the right thing when nobody else is looking. And so there Achan was, and he saw it, and then he picked it up, and well, right there was a wedge of gold. I mean, it was just lying there, and nobody would see it, nobody would notice. It was just one little thing, and that could really come in handy down the line. He took some silver, amen, and he made sure that nobody saw it, and he got it home. His family didn't even know about it. They were all out doing this or that, and he went into their tent, and he buried it underneath some of the stuff in the tent. And there it was, and it seemed like everything was fine. They were having a feast. Everyone was enjoying themselves, and it was time next to go up to a little battle, amen, a little city by the name of Ai. And there they were going to go, and it did not seem like a big deal, amen, to go against Ai. So what we'll do is we will just send a contingent of folks. We don't need to send the whole army. We could just go. I don't know if Achan was among those that went or not. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But they did go. Amen. And they were defeated. And 30 of them were killed. And Joshua complained unto God and said, God, why is this? And he said, well, there's sin in the camp. And you've got to get rid of the sin in the camp. And they ended up going through a series of events that led them down to the household of Achan. And Achan came and he spilled the beans. And he said, you see, this is what happened. Where there we were in the midst of the battle. And I saw, amen, everybody say saw. I saw a Babylonish garment and a wedge of gold and silver. Amen. And then after I saw them, I coveted them. Everyone say coveted. Amen. I wanted them. I wanted those things. I saw them and then I wanted them. I just began to stew on it. I began to think about it. I began to go over it in my mind and just all the things that I could do with it. Could I tell you something? You've got the power through the Holy Ghost to take those imaginations that put themselves in your mind and cast them down. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't give place to the devil. Amen. Don't give thought. Amen. To those things that you know are forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But he dwelt on them. And after I dwelled on them, after I coveted them, then I took them. And then after he took them, he hid them. But be sure your sins will find you out. Because God sees it all. And you might think that you could just... Now, you can't keep yourself from seeing some things. Now, could I tell you? There are some things you could keep yourself from seeing. Hello, boy, you just got quiet. You are really quiet. Amen. There are some things you can keep yourself from seeing. There are certain books you don't need to pick up. There are certain magazines you don't need to buy.
Amen. You can avert your eyes as you go through the checkout line at the grocery store. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. You don't need to buy a television. And if you have a television, you don't need to keep the television. Amen. You don't need to go to certain websites. You don't need to just go pell-mell wherever you want to go. Amen. Surfing the web as though it was some kind of candy store. I'm here to tell you, we need to have a holiness about us. We need to have something that keeps our minds and our hearts. We need to set up a covenant with our eyes. Amen. David said that, therefore I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Amen. And so we can, but You know, he was there in battle, and he just happened to see those things. Amen. And it didn't have anything to do with him having a covenant with his eyes or not. They were just there right in the middle of the battle. And there are some things that you cannot help but see. There are things that are going to happen. Amen. But you don't need to dwell on those things. You don't need to think on those things. You don't need to let the gears of your mind turn on those things. You can cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. You can be holy in your thinking, in your mind. Oh God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord. Amen. My God and my Redeemer. Praise God. Amen. We cannot just handle these things and we see something, we can't just let it stew in our mind. We can't dwell on those things. We've got to cast down imaginations, because the Bible says that every man is tempted. It was our reading when he's drawn away of his own lust or his own desires and enticed. Amen. Being tempted is not a sin. Every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust, his own desires. Now, we have a sexual connotation of the word lust, but that is not all that it means. It just means desires. Amen. And we have a lot of desires that are not godly. We have a lot of desires that are not pleasing to God. And every man is tempted when he's drawn away of those desires and enticed. But not until lust hath conceived does it bring forth sin. Somebody said, I can't keep a flock of birds from flying over my head, but I could keep them from building a nest in my hair. Amen. You don't need to allow those thoughts to just take root, amen, in your mind and your heart. We need to cast those things down. We need to not dwell on those things. We need to rebuke those things. Praise God. We need to replace them with good thoughts. Whatsoever things are good and lovely and true and of good report. Amen. Devil tries to throw something into your mind. Amen. Maybe you saw something and you begin to think about it. Amen. What you need to do, and you know that it's not right. You know that it's not godly. You know that God does not want you thinking on those things. Begin to think about some other things. Amen. Why don't you just say, God, you're holy. Thank you for your blood. Amen. Fill your mind with those things. Amen. And allow those other thoughts to dissipate. Praise God. Amen. As you fill your mind with the blood of Jesus. Amen. And the good things of God. Praise the Lord. That is good preaching. If you'll get that, that will help you. Amen. Hallelujah. And so there in Romans chapter number 1, he talked about these, the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God being revealed. Amen. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth and unrighteousness. They've got truth, but they don't talk to me right now. God, I'm enjoying one of my fantasies.
Don't talk to me right now, God. I'm just enjoying what I'm seeing or what I'm hearing right now too much. No. Don't suppress the truth. Amen. And because the wrath of God will be revealed against those that do those things. Bible says that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like corruptible man to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also hath given them up to uncleanness through the lust or desires of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Amen. I want to preach to us a little bit about sin. Amen. Amen. I told us that sin is incredibly powerful. Sin has the power to destroy a life. Amen. Could I tell you that sin has got the power to destroy your life if you let it? Amen. Sin has got the power to put you in chains. Amen. And bondage. Sin has got the power, if you'll toy with it, amen, to slap a chain on you. Amen. And keep you under its bondage, under its them all of your life. Amen. Sin's able to do that. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we've got, we have a remedy, if you will. We have got something that that comes against that. But God gave people up to do all of these things if they wanted to do it. Could I tell you that what stands between sin being the ruler of your life and God being the ruler of your life is your own will. Amen. You choose to serve God, or you choose not to serve God. You choose to fear the Lord, or you choose not to fear the Lord. Bible tells us those that they knew God. They knew God, but they decided not to glorify Him as God. That they made Him something less than God in their lives and allowed their foolish hearts to be darkened, and they became vain in imaginations, and they professed themselves to be wise, and yet they became fools. Bible says they changed the truth of God to a lie. Worship the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. For this cause, because they did that, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was their meat. Amen. In other words, God, these folks, they even went to the point of homosexuality and men doing with men and ladies doing with ladies, women doing with women, those things that are not godly. Amen. And so God gave them up to that. Amen. And allowed them to go and to do those things. And in the end, they will receive the recompense or their payment. Amen. For the wages of sin is death. And even as they did not like to retain God in the knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, or in the English Standard Version, to do those things that ought not to be done. There are certain things that ought not to be done. Amen. Ought not to be named. Amen. We don't need to base our ourselves and our music, amen, and our dress upon worldly styles and worldly this and worldly that. We don't need to take our cue from Hollywood. We don't need to take our cue from the so-called Christian music. Amen. You go to take a look at some of these guys. Amen. Why is it that they all look like they've got faces as long as basset hounds? You go to a Christian bookstore and you see the local Christian group, you know, with their piercings and their gauging and and their tattoos and their worldly lifestyles. Amen. The silly way that they sing songs in a breathy way. We don't need that junk. We need the Holy Ghost. We need holiness. Amen. We need to live right. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to follow after God. Amen. Not follow after the things of the world. All this stuff that calls itself Christian, it's disgusting. It's just a blending of worldliness and church. Amen. And all you get when you blend worldliness and church is worldliness. Amen. You don't get church at all. You don't get the move of God. You know, God is a million miles away from there. Amen. People might be inches from the cross, but they're miles from the blood. Hallelujah. I'm not angry. Amen. But I am mad at sin. I hate sin. I hate the devastating power of sin. I hate when I have to reach out. Amen. I try to reach out to people, those that oppose themselves. Amen. Try to get somebody just to live for God. To get somebody just to come to church. Get somebody just to try to do the right thing. Amen. And there they are. What is it? They're in bondage. Amen. They're trapped by sin. Amen. They're in shackles. Amen. Sin is dragging them down. Amen. When God's wanting to set them free. I hate sin. Amen. I hate sin. I hate its effect in our lives. I hate what it tries to do to the church. I hate, amen, what it tries to do among young people. I thank God, Brother Cole. I thank God that you're leading our young people. I really do. This man's calling them to fast and to pray and to seek God. Amen. He's not going and taking them to little shoot 'em up games and all this other stupid stuff that youth leaders, youth pastors do. Amen. God, lead us in the ways of righteousness. Sin wants to get its hold on you. Wants to drag young people down. In the name of Jesus, that ain't happening here. In the name of Jesus, we're standing for holiness. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're not going the way of the world. Amen. We're going to pray and fast and seek God and worship God and witness to souls. Amen. Until He comes again for a holy church. He went on in Romans 1. Talked about these that did not want to retain God in their knowledge. Set God on a shelf. I'm just going to enjoy the world for a while. I'll come back. You think you have the power to do that, huh? You think you can just turn it on, turn it off. I wrote about 3 or 4 years ago a tribute to the grace of God. And some of you folks know him, and I'm going to mention him. Amen. The story of the author Chubb. How many remember Brother Chubb? It was 1979. My sister-in-law, Karen, was wondering what's going on with her boyfriend. He got into some kind of weird religion out there in California. And he was witnessing to her, sending her tracts. And she thought, you know, I'm going to go check him out. I'm going to try to get him out of that thing. And they met her at the airport. And Brother Mike introduced her. Real quickly, amen, to Brother Chubb. Brother Chubb was a young, good-looking black man, amen, that loved God. He loved the Word of God. He taught Bible studies. He witnessed to folks. And so he, just like he did to Brother Mike, he taught Karen a Bible study, and pretty soon she was baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Was serving God, loving God. Amen. She's still serving God, loving God to this day. But in 2000, she came to me. I was now assistant pastor at that church. And she came to me and said, you know, 20 years ago, the man that taught me my Bible study, he ended up backsliding, going off into sin. And I won't even get everything that he got into, but he did get into some stuff. And it devastated his home, and it devastated his life. And she said, but I cannot get Brother Chubb off of my mind. And I have been praying for him, and I didn't even know if he was around. So I hadn't seen him in 20 years. So I decided to look up in the phone book and see if he was around. And he was still in the area. His phone number is there. And here's his address. And I was wondering if you would send Brother Chubb a letter. If you would just let him know that folks are praying for him, and we would like to see him back in church. And I said, I'll pray. I'll take a little bit of time, and I'll pray regarding the words to write, and I'll send a letter this week. And so I prayed and sought the Lord, and I sent a letter off to him. And we did not hear anything. And almost 3 months went by. And my sister-in-law came to me. She said, did you ever send that letter off to Brother Chubb? And I said, you know, I did. I sent it, and I never heard anything back from him. And we'll give it a week. And if he doesn't respond, if he doesn't come to church within a week, I'll go ahead and I will send another letter out. Amen. And she said, I would really appreciate that. This burden, amen, for his soul is not leaving me. Amen. And it was that Sunday that the author Chubb ended up walking in to the door at the old building on East Tabor Avenue. And he walked down right near the beginning of service, and they were shocked to see his appearance. And that fine black head of hair was now turned gray, and he seemed like a frail old man. And he seemed like he was racked with pain, and he shuffled down the side a wall there, amen, to find a place about a third of the way back, amen, and sat down. And my sister-in-law came to me quickly, and she said, that's him. That's him right there. I know it's him, but he looks so different. It looks like sin has really taken a hold on him. And I went and I introduced myself, and he hugged my neck standing there and began to weep on my shoulder, amen, and in his hand was a three-month-old crumpled, tear-stained letter that had been his constant companion for 3 months. Amen. He had wept over it. He had held that letter. He had folded it and unfolded it. You see, because that letter arrived, amen, because of the grace of God, amen, moving upon a sister, amen, after 20 years, amen, the grace of God moved on her and said, would you send a letter? That letter, amen. Amen. Arrived 2 days after he got note that he had terminal cancer. And so he couldn't drive because of his condition. So I gave him a ride home. And I began to teach Brother Chubb. I began to teach him Bible studies. I began to get together with him. We would go and we would pray together, and we would weep together. We would talk together. Amen. And he would come down and he would lift up his hands, and it seemed like he could not forgive himself for all the things that he had done. His children were lost. His wife didn't want anything to do with church. Amen. He had the smell of cigarette smoke, amen, all over his hair and his skin and his clothes and his house. Amen. He was a broken man. He was broken by sin. He was devastated by sin, and pain racked his body. I remember, amen, as we drive to church, he'd said, you know, there's a new lump, and he would say, feel right here, and I'd feel on his back, and it was just like overnight a big new lump or two would appear, amen, and they were painful, and it seemed like that there was nothing that could be done, and we prayed for him, but still he had trouble forgiving himself, believing that God could ever forgive him. He was filled with cancer and regret. And the regret was worse than the cancer. He had thrown 20 years away of his life. One day he didn't come to church. I went to go pick him up and he wouldn't come out. He wouldn't come out. So I had to go. I went. And I was sitting there in church, and after about a third way in the service, his youngest daughter came in, handed me a thick envelope, several handwritten pages from Brother Chubb, saying, "I won't be back. I'm not going to waste your time or anyone else's time. Based on the following scriptures, I don't believe that I can be saved." And he would go and he would list some scriptures. "It's impossible for those who have tasted of the heavenly gift to be," you know, you may know the scriptures, you may not know the scriptures, but he was interpreting them wrong. He was not looking. I mean, God was drawing him. God put it on his sister's heart, amen, to pray for him, to have a letter sent to him. All of these things were working after 20 years. The letter, I mean, this was God moving. And after service, I went to Brother Chubb's home, and I rang his doorbell, and he came to the door, and he just fell upon my neck weeping. And we stood there out on his front porch, just weeping, hugging. And after a while, I just pushed him away. I said, "Brother Chubb, you're wrong, you know. That's not what these scriptures mean." And I began to go through those scriptures and show him what they mean and show him the handiwork of God and what God was doing in his life. And I said, I said, "Do you see this?" He said, "I see it." I said, "I'm going to write it down so that you don't forget it and so the devil doesn't throw it back at you." He was so filled with regret. He had trouble. The last days, he had to have a tracheotomy just to talk. He'd have to cover a little hole in his throat to eliminate waste. He had a bag on his side. I remember going to his bedside when he was too weak to move. And he just couldn't believe that God would forgive him. I kept reassuring him. I kept telling him the scriptures. I kept praying with him. And then, just a few days, in one of those lucid moments he had, he blinked at me. Couldn't really talk too much. I said, "Do you know you're forgiven?" And he would nod his head and he would blink at me and tears would stream down his face. Could I tell you something? As powerful as sin is to have destroyed his life, it was not more powerful than the blood. Bible speaks of all these sins, how God will judge them. Not only those that do those things, but those that have pleasure in them that do them. But I'm not come here to preach to you merely about the incredible power of sin. As devastating and as horrible as it is, as much damage as it could do, I've come to talk to us today about the incredible power that breaks the back of sin. Amen. I've come to preach to you about the incredible power that destroys sin, that's able to purge every last vestige of sin out of our lives. Amen. I've come to preach to us about the incredible power that vanquishes sin, amen, out of us, amen, and is able to assure us, amen, that he can and will present you faultless before his throne, amen, without spot, without the stain of sin. Amen. Hallelujah. He's able to cleanse your conscience. Amen. He's able to make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I'm here to tell you Amen. I want to talk to us about the incredible power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. The incredible power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. Amen. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen, amen. Amen. I'm here to talk to us about the incredible power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. We have been purchased with His blood. Acts 20 and 28. We are justified by His blood. Romans 5 and 19. We have redemption through His blood. Ephesians 1, 7. Colossians 1, 14. We who once were far off are made nigh by the blood. Amen. Ephesians 2, 13. We have been reconciled to God by His blood. Colossians 1 and 20. Devil is destroyed through His blood. Hebrews 2 and 14. We've been eternally redeemed by His blood. Hebrews 9 and 12. Our consciences are purged from dead works to serve the living God by His blood. Hebrews 9 and 14. Our sins are remitted by His blood. Hebrews 9, 22. We have boldness to enter into the holiest of all. Amen. By His blood. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10 and 19. We're sanctified by His blood. Hebrews 13 and 12. We are made perfect in every good work to do His will through His blood. Hebrews 13 and 20. We have been redeemed with His precious blood. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, we're cleansed by His blood. 1 John 1 and 7, He washed us from our sins in His own blood. Revelation 1 and 5, we've been redeemed by His blood. Amen. Revelation 5 and 9, and we overcome the devil, the accuser of the brethren, by His blood. Revelation 12 and 21, amen. Praise God. I'm here to tell you that the blood of Jesus can undo everything that the devil did. Amen. Everything that the sin of Adam ever wrought. Amen. The blood of Jesus reverses it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. While by one man, sin entered upon all mankind, and by sin death, because in Adam all die. Amen. So in Jesus Christ, many shall be made alive. Amen. I'm here to tell you that the blood undoes everything, amen, that sin ever did. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. There's power, power, power in the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. It will undo everything, amen, that sin has done, amen, in our lives. Amen, praise God. The blood has the power. I'm talking about the incredible power of the blood. Amen, the blood has the power to restore lives. Amen, the blood has the power to restore a marriage. Amen, the blood has the power to heal a damaged life and give it hope again. The blood's got a power to turn a prostitute into a loving mother. Amen. God, the blood has got the power to turn a pedophile into a loving dad. The blood has got the power, amen, to break chains, amen. Amen. Off of captives and set addicts free. The blood can keep a young person and make a young person virtuous and holy in the midst of a sinful world. The blood can turn a streetwalker into a witness of his mercies. The blood can turn a gangbanger into a preacher of the gospel. Amen. The blood can heal a body that was damaged by the effects of sin. Amen. The blood can take a dirty sinner and present him or her faultless before the throne of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, you still can't toy with sin. But if you repent of sin, if you'll give sin the boot, kick it out of your life. We read it in Romans. Being then made free from sin. When we obeyed that gospel. I'm here to tell you that we're no longer servants to sin. We were, amen. Praise God, but he's broke the bondage. Amen, he broke the bondage. Amen, he broke the chains. Amen. You know what? I got thinking one time, and I know I've said this before, but you know what? I don't think that Paul and Silas were really even aware when their chains first broke off. I don't think they were aware. They were Pentecost. Amen. They were worshiping God. Amen. Hallelujah. They were making some noise. They figure if I'm in chains, I'm going to rattle it like a tambourine. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to dance in these chains. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? I had the feeling those chains shook off. Amen. When they got to just doing that. Amen. Just doing that. Amen. No chains just fall off. Amen. Because they began to worship God. Amen. They sang. He sang.